Okay, let's learn. I wanted to come into Shavuos with Rav Levi Yitzchak Mendelshtein in the Shavuos mode. So I told you that we don't have a biography of Rav Levi Yitzchak Mendelshtein. There are pieces, meisim, stories. Last week we spoke about the difficulties that he had in Pinsk. After Pinsk, he was in a town called Zelichov for a short time. Then the next stage would be his Rabbanus in Baditchev. So we're going to talk about that, but I wanted today to prepare for Shavuos with the Kedushas Levi. So this, on page 33, which continues from 34 to 35, what we have here is an account of something Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchev himself told over, and it was recorded by the Tzaddikim. This is actually taken from the Sefer of the Kamar Nerevi. So we're not talking about a historian. We're talking about the Kamar Nerevi himself in his Sefer Nesiv Mitzvosecha, regarding an Indian that we'll see in a second with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak that took place on Leil Shavuos. And then we're going to learn a Torah from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mitzvah Shem for Shavuos. And this will be our Hachana. Remember that he was one of the closest disciples of Mezritcha Magid. He was one of the foremost students of the Mezritcha Magid. Ultimately, the Mezritcha Magid, the Rebbe of Be'er, would be the one to sort of push Rabbi Levi Yitzchak into Rabbanus. We'll see next time that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak really wanted to spend his life being a mikveh attendant. That's what he wanted to do. He thought he would be a mikveh attendant and help Jews purify themselves, and he wanted to try to, with his wife, the wife would take care of the women's mikveh, and the ladies would want to take care of the men's mikveh, and he would learn when he would learn. That's what he wanted to do. But his Rebbe didn't want him to do that, but we'll see next time how he started off as a mikveh attendant, but the Mizrach Magid said on the Tanai that he gives one drasha a week also, that he learns a little bit with the island, but then once they heard what kind of a person he is, then nobody would allow him to remain a mikveh attendant. And not that there's anything demeaning about being a mikveh attendant, but Rabbi Levi Yitzchak had Torah to give to the world. So during this period of time, when he was with the Mizrach Magid, he was going back and forth all the time, when he was in Pinsk and Zelichov, and before he was Bechlal and Rabbanus, he used to go all the time to back and forth to Mizrach. So this amazing thing took place on the night of Shavuos. And I was alluding to this the other day. Some of you might remember that I said something about Shavuos with Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchev. So listen what happened. V'chein hoya on page 33, where it says Ches. V'chein hoya l'harav ha-kadosh marein ha-harav Rabbi Levi Yitzchak b'leil Shavuos. That the tzaddikim had a kabbalah that from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchev from the night of Shavuos. Shezocha liros mara hashchina kedmus v'chule. Now, why does it say, what does that mean? That Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchev was zocha to see the divine presence in the garments, in the physical garments of a, it doesn't say the last word, which is a woman. And that, some of you have heard, that we have some famous accounts of things like this happening. One of the great students of the Arizal, who saw a vision of the Shechina on Tisha B'Av at the Kosel, Rabbi Avram Halevi, one of the students of the Arizal who had that vision, the Shechina, when the tzaddikim are zoche, those exalted tzaddikim who are privileged to see a vision of the Shechina, it is seen as a woman dressed in the clothing of mourning, of a veilus, crying. There are a number of ma'asim like this that we have. This is a kabbalah regarding Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Baditchev, that on the night of Shavuos, one year, he was zocheh to see the Shechina in such a vision. Va'amar lo, and she said to him, Chazak b'ni Levi Yitzchak, be strong, my child Levi Yitzchak. Rabos ya'avor alecha, there will be much that will pass over you. In other words, you're going to have to go through a great deal of difficulties. Va'ata chazak b'ni, but you will be strong. Ki eye imach, the Shechina says, the divine presence and clothed in this vision of a woman in mourning, said to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, but I will be with you, and therefore lo zira v'lo sifached, don't be afraid. V'ka'ach ha'yamais, so what was the story? What's the story behind this? Shabba Li'ir Dikla, just turn over the page, Ba'esrim Ba'omer, then Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was in the city of Dikla on the 20th day of the Omer, Uvalashon Bi'ishon Laila Va'afela, and he arrived in that city. If it's the Dikla that I'm familiar with, and I don't mean from a trip or anything, just from the Svarim, Dikla was a city in Galicia, in Poland. So he arrived there. He arrived there in the very late at night. And there was nobody. Everybody was sleeping. There was nobody that could take him into the house to sleep. Now there was one fellow there that was still walking around. He was a borsiki. Now a borsiki was considered to be the least pleasant of all jobs. These were tanners with the skin. They had a permanent stench. These were the guys that like no one could go near them. They smelled so bad because the borsiki with the behemoth tanning and pulling the skin with it was a terrible odor coming from that place. And so this borsiki, this person was up late at night, was there somehow walking around, or was maybe by the Mismedrish, whatever, and he saw Rabbi Levi Yitzchak v'hichnis osa lebeiso, and he invited the Rabbi Levi Yitzchak to come to his house. That is a very significant and symbolic thing that he was invited by somebody who smelled bad. We'll see.
Was he great at this point? Was he known who he was? Did they know who he was?
It's not clear that at this point that it was known yet that who he was. So v'rotza lehispalel marav. Now he wanted to daven marav, v'lisper sfira somer, and to count sfira. V'lo yochel sham. He couldn't in that house. Why couldn't he? It was such a stench. He couldn't daven in that place. Couldn't daven there. So what did he do? So v'holach lebeis hamedrash v'yichidi. He went by himself to the beis medrash. With a spalal of a sofer, he went there and he davened and he counted sphere. Ad acher chatzais laila, and he davened for a long time. It was already after midnight. Vehev mizeh, and through his davening, he came to a great understanding in one of the mysteries that's discussed in the Zohar, which is inyan yiridus hashchina begalus, the inyan of the exile of the divine presence. Ba'amda b'shuk shel borsiki. Now the Zohar compares the divine presence in exile in Golis to a princess that is stuck in the tannery. Here you have the most beautiful, the most noble, the most exalted that's in a feshtunkene place. When I proposed to my wife, I asked her if she's prepared as a princess to be in a base borsiki. She didn't know what I was talking about, but now she does. But at the time, she didn't understand. But that's the union of the exile of the Shechina in a base borsiki. This world stinks. It's a base borsiki. So Rav Levi Yitzchak came to a very deep understanding of that union. He felt it as he did everything. He felt it in a very, very profound way. Bocha harbe bechias, and he was crying a lot. Mitoich oimek halev al tzar hashchina, for the anguish of the divine presence, the humiliation of the shchina in this world. Umirov tzar ubchia, and because of his great tzar anguish and crying, this alef v'yiradeim, he passed out. V'ra b'mara or, and he had a vision. V'ziv v'zohar god. There was great and awesome light. There was a light that dimmed the light of the sun. It was the middle of the night. And he saw Mekushetas. He saw, again, it says, Bidmus v'chulu. You see, the commander wouldn't say a woman. He always writes in the image of, etc. So that means in the image of a woman. Mekushetas ba'arva v'esam kishutan. Wearing the 24 ornaments of a bride, the 24 kishutim of the bride. Means ornaments, adornments, I guess, whatever you call it. Kishutim. V'chol kishut ha'ya mazir b'ziv. And each of the kishutim, each of these adornments was shining mamish with this light. Sh'or ha'shemesh choshach mamish negla. The light of the sun would be like darkness compared to that light. V'kama mine zohar v'hadar. Lo yechilehu ha'rayon ha'gashmi kol kach. It would be impossible for it to be described in physical terms. V'amra. And then this woman, dressed as the bride, said, Chazak b'ni, chazak, what we saw before, to be strengthened, much will pass over you in life, but you will be strong. Now, the problem was that he was not able to see her face, only from behind, her back. And therefore he felt he wasn't worthy to see the face of that image of the Shekhinah in this world. So he complained. I mean, he didn't complain, but he had sorrow. He expressed his anguish that he... Harini nas mareich, and I wanted to see that, to see. The Shiva alone, he was told, Hare ata b'chan, you are alive, uksiv, and it's written, la yirani ha'adam b'chai, that a living being cannot see this. V'ahayim esab, now we know this because Rabbi Levi Yitzchak B'ditchva told this over.
To the Kamarna?
It couldn't be, the Kamarna didn't see the B'ditchva, but I guess to the ancestors of the Kamarna, maybe, you know, that they heard it from Zid Dichav, Kamarna, they heard. So now Rabbi Levi Yitzchak B'ditchva, when he told us over, he said, Zohar kazeh, this light, mamish zachisi liros b'Rosh Hashanah etzel Mori, I was zachit to see by my Rebbe on Rosh Hashanah, by Mezut Shemagi Rosh Hashanah. Shechal Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, it was once Rosh Hashanah, the first day was Shabbos, Yom Sheni, and it was on the second day, it was Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah on Sunday, La'hoya Moivir Rabbi Yochel Liskoa, that my Rebbe, the Mizrit Shemagi, couldn't blow the shofar. He couldn't blow the shofar. He wasn't able to blow the shofar. V'omad Mori L'Hespal Mincha. So that Yontif, he couldn't blow the shofar. And my Rebbe stood to Dav Mincha. U'tfilas Mincha Shlohoysa Tomet Eish Sarif Shalheves Ka Kanoda. And the Mincha of the Mizrit Shemagi was famous for being like a fire mamish. More than any of the other tefillas, his mincha was very, very fiery. And when I saw this, halachti b'mekaymi v'amarti etzel achalon, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak B'ditchva said, I went and I stood next to the window. Karav l'moka mori, near where my Rebbe was, l'spal shom, I wanted to daven near him. V'achra tefillah, and after davening, hayederach mori leilach ma'at, ona v'ona. It was the way of my Rebbe, after davening, to walk back and forth across the Beis Medrash. The Gamla Chalon, he would also stop and look at, by the window. He would look out the window. And when my Rebbe turned around, Reisi Alponov, I saw on his face that light. Ziv Vezora Ashchina. That light that he had seen. Ziv Vezora Ashchina, Bekamimine Ziv Vezora, Vahadar, Kemara Hakeshis, Shemala, like the colors of the rainbow. Some people just spotted the rainbow. I wasn't sure to see, but there was a rainbow before. Kamara Hakesha Shemala begavon in the here with shining lights. V'nofel alai pachad ura'ada, and a great fear had fell upon me. V'nafalti la'chari, and I fell backwards. V'chziku bi b'nei adam shlo apol, and there were other people who saw me falling, and they caught me that I shouldn't fall. Of course, they didn't know why I was faint, you know, why I was falling. The next page, 35. When my Rebbe saw what had, this trembling, what had befallen me, when my Rebbe saw that, Hichzir es panav lakoso, he put his face back against, to face the wall, the somach rosho lakoso, and he put his head against the wall, shnayim ashloisha regarim, 2 or 3 minutes, V'hichzer es panav, and then he turned around again to face the people. V'lorisi od shum davar, and there was no longer any vision. There was nothing else. There was no longer that light coming from his face. V'ahoyim esaper v'holech, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak would say, Shagam beis p'tiras mori, also at the time that the Mizrit Shemagid died, hirgashti v'reisi ziv v'zora kezerlov, I saw that light upon his face at the time of his death. V'mizezachisi l'hasagas teroso, and I was, from that, I was zocher that I was privileged to see that light. I was zocher to understand. I was zocher to understand his teachings. So this is an authentic autobiographical Torah of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev, that he was zocher to understand Mizrit Shemagid's teachings through that vision of the Shekhinah that he saw upon the face of his Rebbe. So this is something I wanted to share with you. It's not anything that I could explain or understand.
this question. First, it says that he saw this vision on Leil Shavuot. The Rebbe said that it was she was dressed in mourning. But then on Chaf Omer, the Rebbe said that he saw it was a vision of great light and great beauty and splendor. So was it two visions?
Yeah, the Shekhinah appears in at times in dark clothing and at times in white clothing. So, like in that story of the student of the Arizal, who, when he came to the Kosel, when he first arrived there, so the vision that he had of the Shekhinah was in dark clothing of crying, and he passed out. And afterwards, when he came to, he was able to see the Shekhinah in white clothing. So, meaning there's a state of sadness and a state of joy, Leah and Rachel, Tikkun Leah, Tikkun Rachel. And the way that the Shekhinah is enclosed depends upon the day and the madrega of the tzaddik and all these different things. So it's not always in the clothing of mourning. It depends.
But he saw it twice. It seems that he saw it twice. It says what, and then it says Chaf Omer.
Yeah. So that. So he's talking about. So it sounds like there are two ma'asim here. That one is talking about Leil Shavuos, and the other is Chaf Omer, and maybe it was the same year. It's not clear from the, you're right, it's not clear from the account, the dates and how that worked. But the vision that he had, now how much more significant was that he met a Bursiki. So the person that he met was a tanner who took him to his house. It's amazing. The whole story is an amazing story. And he experienced himself that the impossibility of being in the house of the Borsiki. So it's sort of like, it seems like Rebbe Levitsch himself was living through the Shekhinah's experience, which is Iman Ochi Betzar, right? The Shekhinah can't bear being in the impurity of this world. And Rebbe Levitsch Baditshva couldn't bear being that night in the house of the Borsiki. There's stuff going on. I mean, the vechulis, the et cetera is here, unfortunately. Leave out the best stuff. Right? So the vechuli. But that's what the Kamarna heard. And if in that place of the Tzar, which would be interesting if you would take a look there, in the third chelik of the Tzar in Kuf Tesvav, on the base, there you'll see the moshel of the Shekhinah, of the princess, of the Kala, the base Bursiki. There's a very remarkable piece from the Tzemach Tzedek explaining that inyan of the bride in the tannery. But that's the state of the Shekhinah and of the Jewish people in this world. The Kala Bebez Bursiki. So even the smell is not something which is, God forbid, which is part of who we are. And it's not Chalila part of, God forbid, of the Shekhinah. But because of the matzav of the world, unfortunately, Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are at least on an external, superficial level, affected by the smell. We're affected by the smell. And that's the experience that we're having in Golis. And the Shekhinah is together with us in our exile. And at that night, Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Baditshever who was so deeply in love with the Jewish people, he had a neshama klalis, he had a soul that connected to all the Jewish people. It was as if he was the Jewish people that went through the suffering of the Shekhinah in the place of a Borsiki, and that he had to run out from that house to go to the Beis Medrash, which we know that's in our place of Golis, in this time of exile. So Chazal tell us that we have the Bate Midrashis and the Bate Knesias, our shuls and our yeshivas. Those are the places that we could run to get away from the smell. Meaning that at least when a person's in shul and a person's in Beis Medrash, so there you get away from the insanity. You could remember the truth, and the shul Baruch Hashem in Beis Medrash and in the yeshiva in the shul, that's where a person is able to get away from the stench of the Borsiki. So we know that every shul is a mikdash mat, every yeshiva is a mikdash mat. It's a place of the indwelling of the divine presence of the Shekhinah, and we're not zeichet to see it. We're not zeichet to see it. And you see with the Mizritcha Magid, he experienced that apparently on somewhat of a regular basis. But when Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, he saw, he was able to see that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev noticed it, and that's why the Berditchev started passing out. So then he turned to the wall and he came back down to earth and he removed that he didn't want even Rabbi Levi Yitzchak to see it anymore. But it's the whole mice is a plidika mice. But this is what Klai Yisrael goes to. Now I want to learn on the other side of that page. You have with the dots. If you have a Kedushas Levi, it's in the Kedushas Levi of Shavuos. Kedushas Levi, there are only a few pages on Shavuos. It's in Bamidbar. You see there he has on Shavuos, and there are a few explanations. Why is it that we read? Why do we read Megillas Ruos on the Yontav of Shavuos? There are a few explanations. Now this is the one that I've mentioned many times in Shul. I mentioned it last week on Shabbos, but we never learned it together inside, and I thought we should learn it inside. So if you're looking in the Kedushas Levi itself, there, in the section that deals with Shavuos, if you go two or three pages, you'll see that he has a few reasons. Tam, Ashukarim, B'Shavuos, Megillas, Rus. So the second reason where it says, O Yivor, HaTam, Shunakarim, Rus, B'Shavuos. This is in the addition with the Nekudas. On page Reish Ayin Ches. O Yivor HaTam Shnekaren Rus B'Shavuos. So why do we read Sefer Rus, the story of Rus on Shavuos? And this is very much connected to the story that we just read, although I might not explain that, but it's connected. And Rus, the fact that the story, that the Gilui, the Hizgalus, the revelation of the Malchus of David HaMelech on the Yontav of Shavuos takes place also with a poor woman in distress. So we understand, without going to any arichas, that Rus is herself the embodiment of the divine presence, and that's also a princess in the Beis Borsi. I don't think I have to explain that she was a princess that was stuck in the most horrible tannery of all, which is what? Moab, the nations of the world. Moab, afashtunkana uma, mamish, the smell of the world is Moab, and the Rus is the embodiment of the Shechina, who was caught in that place, the neshamas of Jews that are stuck by the goyim, the Shechina, that Hashem's presence is stuck mamish by the goyim, that they're Yiddish and neshamas, all over the place, that they're in the bodies of goyim, that they're lost neshamas avudas, that we daven havel Hashem ishpuches amim, that Mashiach comes, that the goyim are going to be forced to give back those neshamas to us. They're our neshamas. So Rus, this Gioris, this convert, who came from the fields of Moab, from such a distant place. So the connection between the Torah, the story that we just read, and the story of Rus is obvious, and this Torah is very, very obvious. Also, L'reach Shmanecha Tovim in Megillah Shir Hashirim, Alken Alamos Ahivucha, at the beginning of Shir Hashirim, the fragrance of the beloved draws the nations of the world, as you recall. Alken Alamos Ahivucha, the fragrance of the Jewish people of the Shechina is so delicious that, as Rashi brings down over there, the Goyim come to convert. We don't go looking for Goyim, but these Neshomas, they're drawn back to us. So Rashi says there from Chazal that the fragrance is what draws back the neshamas. So here we have the fragrance of Klai Yisrael that's able to somehow make itself known to those lost neshamas, despite the fact that they're stuck in the Beis Borsiki of this world, the tannery of this world that smells so bad. But the delicious smell of a Jew is so strong. I just told this to somebody. I got a call last night from someone that I love very much, who's an Eretz Yisrael, who spent the Shabbos in a very, very religious place. Very, very religious place. And she was there with some girls, and she found it to be an extremely depressing Shabbos. She just said that, like, nobody was smiling, and nobody seemed to be happy with the Yiddishkeit, she didn't know, like, where was the light of Torah, and, you know, so we had this whole conversation. So I told her, how do you come to such a conclusion, because you're in the streets of that neighborhood for Shabbos? How do you make such a, you're a good judge of people, but I think that you're getting carried away, that if you really, really would have a good nose like Mashiach, He says, V'hiricha, the Mashiach has a good nose. If you really know how to smell out a Jew, so then you're able to get past the outside. Unfortunately, I know what she's talking about, because I spent two Shabbos over the years in that particular spot also, and I have to say that I'm not comfortable there. I also didn't, you don't see the joy of Yiddishkeit. There's a lot of Torah learning, but the simcha, the joy, you don't see clearly. So you have to be able to get past the base borsiki and to smell the shechina. And it's like that sometimes when you see a Yid, you see a Jew that's not, you don't see the person behaving in the way that you would expect. You should know that it's a princess in the base borsiki. Therefore, even this Jew that doesn't smell so good, but when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, he'll do you any tayv in the world. And you have to remember that. You see a certain chevra, a certain person that's acting in a way that's so unbecoming. And you know, he's doing this and doing that. But lemaisa, if you get to know the person really, really well and you really see who the person is, then you're able to smell the arkein aleimo sahevucha, the smell that Rus was able to smell. She smelled it. So on the day of Shavuos, we read Megillas Rus. So the Rebbe explains. Why do we read Rus B'Shavuos? This will sound familiar to me. We spoke about this, but he begins, this first part I never mentioned in Shul. Dor HaMidbar Ein Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. The Gemara says a shocking thing, that the generation that was in the desert, that left Egypt, that generation has no portion in the world to come. It's a shocking thing. So the Rebbe, of course, you know how the B'Ditshva would... But the B'ditcher could take something like this and make it into the most wonderful and inspiring and encouraging thing. So you're going to think, how could you take this very upsetting sentence, that Dor HaMidbar Ein Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba, make it into a gewaltige thing? So leave it up to the B'ditcher. You see, he took the first pasuk in Yeshayahu also, and Eich, he made all of Eich into the happiest Eich in the world. When he used to say over Eich, it was like Simchas Torah when he said Eich. So he says, Kihina, he says, Taivis Yisrael, what's the longing of a Jew, really? Is Loilam Haba a Jew? He wants to have Loilam Haba, but why? V'vada ain't tamishum tanu gashmi. It's not because like the Yishmaelim, that they think, as we spoke about Shabbos, that when it comes to Loilam Haba, then they're going to have all the pleasures that they couldn't afford in this world, right? Then they're going to have all the pleasures. That's not why we want Loilam Haba. That's not why we want Mashiach. Chas v'shalom shiyusham b'nuch g'dolim alayim kal tov. That's why we want Mashiach. That's why we should just be able to, it should be fun, it should be... Rak ikar hatam, the main reason, no, that's true that we don't want there should be suffering and people shouldn't have to worry about parnasa. That's, of course that's true. But that's not the ikar hatam that we want. Mashiach is what? He says, Rak ikar hatam, shesham by lamhabi, yisigu dulas abayru. You want to be able to understand the Baruch Shalom, to get close to him. Baruch Hu Hashem, baylam hazeh, in this world, you have to struggle your whole life to just have a little bit of an understanding of God. The main longing of the tzaddikim, that when finally will come time for Mashiach, that they'll be able to understand Hashem is Baruch, they'll be able to be attached to Him in the deepest way. Now listen to how he learns Pshat. Dor HaMidbar, Ro HaNisim Al HaYom, the generation that left Egypt, they saw unbelievable miracles. For Ro Al HaYom Gdula Sabar, they saw the greatness of Hashem by the ocean. Baruch Hu Kamayim HaChachameinu, Zechon Levracha. Ro Sabachul V'Amru Zeh Keli Van Vehu. It was so clear to them that it says that every little child was able to point and every maidservant could say, this is my God. And that generation also was there by Har Sinai. They heard, they saw. For Ogam King Dulsabari Adain Saif, they saw the infinite greatness of Hashem. Benimsa, therefore, Shalay Nishal Ham Shum Chelik Asag Lelam Haba. That's what it means. The generation of the Midbar, Ein Lam Chelik Lelam Haba, means that they already, that doesn't mean they're not going to be in Lelam Haba. Of course they'll be in Lelam Haba. It means Ein Lam Chelik Lelam Haba. They don't have to wait till Lelam Haba. They already had their Lelam Haba in this world. Therefore, they don't depend on Olam. Their chelik is already now. They already experienced the chelik now. Because what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba means the closeness to Hashem. It means clarity. That's what it means. And they had it. Now we can understand why we say Rus on Shavuos. Why? Because every Jew is waiting and longing for Mashiach to come. It's not because of physical pleasures. You know, we also don't want there to be tzaris, but it's not because we're waiting to have all these pleasures. The main reason is because then we'll have an understanding of the infinite God. They'll be able to, their main avodah of Hashem at that time will be on this level of great awareness and understanding. As it says in Yeshaya, when Mashiach will come, the world will be filled with the awareness of Hashem. Now, when a person is waiting for something, anticipating and longing for something, if he doesn't know why or what it means or what it tastes like, because he never had it in his life, you can't really long for something so much if you never know what it was. If you don't know what something, you could say, I long to know the mysteries of the Zohar. What does that mean? It means that you're very, very curious. But you can't really long for something unless it was you had experienced something of it, and then the experience was taken away, or you lost it. Then you could chalish to get it back. As I explained many times, you could say, wow, I feel like, I would really love to have a piece of chaza, to have a cheeseburger. All right, I would really love to have that. If a person had a cheeseburger, God forbid, he's a Baal Tshuva and he had a cheeseburger. So he remembers when it, so he said, oh, that was like a good thing. It tasted good. So he could have a longing to have it again. But Stam, a person who never had a cheeseburger, so he says, I wish I could have a cheeseburger. He wishes what Stam is demyonis. Doesn't mean anything. He doesn't have, it's not something that he really actually recalls or tastes. It's just that it sounds like it's a good thing. But it doesn't mean anything. A longing is for something that I had some taste of, some experience, and then it was taken from me. That's exactly the point. That Hashem taught us the entire Torah. The Malach taught us inside our mothers. We learned the entire Torah. Therefore, we once saw it, we once tasted it, and ever since then, we're chalishing to get it back. That's why when you sit down with a Yid, even a guy that never studied Torah in his life, it was not. You sit down with him, you talk to him in Torah. He has like a hanah mamash like an Eden. Every Jew enjoys learning Torah. You sit down with the Yid, if you learn with them Torah, you have to learn with them something he can understand. If you can sit down with them and, first I've never learned and start with the Rebbe Kiva Eger or something, but if you learn with them Torah, you learn with them a piece of Kedushas Levi, every Jew, any Jew, you learn with them a piece of Kedushas Levi, he'll go mishuga from it. It's not working. He'll go crazy from it. Any Jew. So, because why? Because you're right. It was obvious said that because that's the Torah that's the Torah that was there. It was there, and then it was lost. Kevin Shadayin Lahisik Klal Al Tayvayi Kal Yomav. If you never tasted it, so you can't really want it back. Alav Kishu Kvar Hoyla Taniga Hubaylam. But if you already had this pleasure, as Yedei Tamadav, you know its taste. Then he says Vazem Mechakim Etzapel Yoyis. Then you can really chalish and want it badly. Kamechen Onem Mechakim Etzapel Mabias Mashiach. So too we wait for the coming of Mashiach. Mach Mishana writes him Lahat. Next column. Because why? What do we want? We don't want to have better food. We want Mashiach to come so we could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that amazing, infinite, deep way. So the Rebbe is saying, why should we have a longing for Mashiach? What are we waiting for? I want Mashiach. We want Mashiach. What do you want? You don't even know what it is. You want Mashiach. So a child says that because when Mashiach will come, it'll be like, we'll have, non-stop, basketball with fiberglass backboards and a big crowd cheering you on. And then for a person who's poor, it means that he's not going to have to worry. He could go to the grocery and buy whatever he wants. I mean, but these are childish hasagas. But the real desire is for what? Is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe is asking, so how can you say, I want this, I want this, I want this? What do you mean? You don't know what it is. So what are you screaming about? So he says, that's not true. We did taste it. When did we taste it? Shavuos. By Maamar HaSinai, we tasted it. For that moment, we had an unbelievable dosage, and we were there too. Every one of us. Therefore, when Mashiach comes, we'll serve Hashem with a great heightened understanding and awareness. V'yisigdu l'sabari ad ein soif ha-cheker, to have an infinite understanding. Uve Megillas Rus, k'siv sham leidas ha-mashiach. And the whole story of Rus concludes, of course, it's leading up to the birth of David Malkeh Mashiach, of David HaMelech, of Mashiach Tzekeinu. So now we understand, why do we read this Davka and Shavuos? It's because of Shavuos that we're waiting for David HaMelech to come back. It's because of Shavuos that on Har Sinai we experienced that clarity and that truth. So from that day, we're waiting for redemption. We're waiting for Gula. He says, "L'kach karin aysa b'shuas shushas matan terke deshal yidezeh nechake nitzapelo." That every year when it comes to Shavuos and we receive the Torah, there's ignited within us once again that longing for that last pasuk in Sefer Rus, the Yishai holed his David, and Yishai gave birth to David. So our ability to want redemption is connected to Shavuos, and is connected, therefore, that's why it's the yard site of David HaMelech. Shavuos is when he was born. Shavuos is when he was nifter. The whole Indian of Shavuos is revolving around the and that's Mashiach, and that's the Indian of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the yard site of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, which is the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh who brought in that period of Tkufas HaMashiach, when his neshama had an aliyah, and he met Mashiach in Shemaim, and he asked him, "Mosai Kalsimai, when are you going to come to this world?" He said, "When your teachings, when the wellsprings of your Torah is going to spread to the world." So the Chassidim believe that from that moment on, the Torah of Baal Shem Tov in this world is the Torah of Mashiach, and prepares us, Bez Hashem, for the coming of Mashiach. We should be zayichet to be makabel pnei Mashiach tzakenu, to see him face to face, not in the back, but to see face to face, Mashiach and the Shechina Kadosh Begula Hashem V'Amitis.